Why don't you just stand with me and we sing this together? We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. wonder you are. What a wonder you are. We bless you. We glorify you. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. Somebody, just for a moment, just want to give God thanks. Give God thanks for He has given you life. He has blessed you. He woke you up this morning. You did not wake yourself up. Some of you may have thought you woke up yourself this morning, but God woke you up. He put breath inside you. The Bible says that let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Right now, looking through those windows, and the trees are praising God right now. All of creation is praising God. The heavens are praising Him. The angels are praising Him right now. The 420 elders are praising Him. He is worthy. He is worthy. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who died for the world is worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Yes, He is. We worship you, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. I declare in the name of Jesus that as your word goes forth, it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that to which you're sending it. And I declare in the name of Jesus that your word has healing powers this morning. Your word, as it goes forth, I declare even in this gathering that somebody will be healed in Jesus' name. Somebody's mind will be restored. Somebody's body that has been broken will be healed in Jesus' name, because there is power in your word, God. I declare it today in the name of Jesus. There shall be miraculous signs and wonders following the preaching of your word. So it is written, God, in the name of Jesus, show your power today, God, among us in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Come on, say amen again. That's because you agree with me. Say amen one more time. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Today I want to speak about the way of escape. A way of escape. And I want to take some verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, so chapter 10 rather, reading from verses 1 to 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. I'm going to read those first 13 verses. And I don't know if we have it on the overhead. If we haven't, no problem. Oh, you have. Okay, great. Says this in my Bible, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to us, to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did,
were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as an example and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And the Lord is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. I just want to focus on two verses, verses 12 and 13. It says, so if you think you are standing, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. We thank God for his faithfulness. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. But when you are tempted, my God says that he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Somebody ought to say amen just about then. Hallelujah. Have you ever been tempted? I know some people over there have. Has anybody ever been tempted? That's probably all of us, right? Or there are some saints here who have never, ever been tempted. You've never been tempted, have you? So that's probably all of us, right? Right. I had this temptation once. I'm going to tell you. I've got to make a confession. There was a time when I was going through, I'd been out of work for 18 months. And it was really, really hard. And I was coming into Ilford one day and I saw one. You know those security vans that collect money from the bank? Do you know those ones? Has anybody ever had that thought? What if? You see, I've made a confession, so, you know, I'm trying to make it easy for you guys, right? And I thought to myself, I wonder if while he's coming out with those cases, I could just grab one. That was a temptation. I thank God that I didn't, because I wouldn't be here today. Oh, that was a long time ago. So, the temptation that you were tempted with, did you yield to it? I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to say anything because, you know, some of us did, right? Let's be honest. Yes. We yielded to it. Forgive us, Lord. You see, when I was asking God, Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want me to bring today? And immediately, the Lord dropped into my heart this message about temptation. And I believe that God wants to speak to somebody. Or I'd go as far as say God wants to speak to some people here about this very subject. You see, what I'm doing now, I'm moving into the prophetic and word of knowledge. This is how God has been leading me. And I know that in this place that there are some people, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of you struggling. And even at this moment, you are contemplating, can I go through with it? And I hear the word of God saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't let the devil have his way in your life. Don't let the devil win in this situation. situation, I hear the Spirit of God saying to somebody. Because if you go through with it, it will ruin your life. This is what God's saying. Not just your life, but your family will be ruined. Don't yield to that temptation. In the scriptures that we've just read, Paul, the apostle, is reminding the Christians in idol-saturated Corinth of the history of the Israelites that God had brought out of the wilderness, and they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. After being released from captivity, they were blessed by God, and yet they fell repeatedly into idol worship. Idol worship is extremely serious. It's a serious sin. And we know that all sin is sin. Sin is sin. But this one, this idol worship, God really hates. And Paul was warning, the Corinthians that they too will fall at God's hand for participating in idol worship. Let's have an understanding of what idol worship is. An idol is a person. It's an object or activity you give a higher priority to. And some of you now are thinking, I wonder what that is in my life. An idol can be your home, it can be your job, it can be your vehicle, a relationship, it can even be your family, a pet, a computer, whatever you look at on the computer. All of these can be idols in your life. It can be alcohol, it can be drugs, it can even be your work for the Lord, did you know? Your work for God can consume you. That Jesus takes second place in your life. The Bible says that God, and he has not changed, is a jealous God. But you know what? I thank God for his mercy. He is a merciful God. And if it was not for the mercy of God, not even I would be able to stand here today speaking to you. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, he looked at me even when I sinned, and he plucked me out of darkness and brought me into his marvelous light. Thank God for his mercy. What Paul the apostle was trying to get across to the Corinthians is this. Not just the Corinthians, but he's trying to get it across to us as well. That such temptations, these temptations, they are common. But God always provides a way out for us. The fact is, we are all tempted. We're all tempted. Even Jesus was tempted. The problem comes, and you will face temptation every day. You might just walk out of this building and you're tempted. It's in your mind. The devil puts something in there. We are tempted all the time. The problem comes when we yield to temptation. The experience of our temptation is part of what makes Christ's relationship to us one of trust and hope. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, it says this. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest, listen to this, who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God has provided a way out for every person in this gathering. And Paul the Apostle here, he's warning us. It's a warning. He says, be careful. Be careful lest you fall. So he's not talking to people outside the church, but he is talking to people inside the church. It's like as I'm speaking to you guys this morning. Be careful lest you fall. You see, people outside the church have nothing to fall from. But he is talking to those of us inside the church, Christians. The only way that you will fall is if you're in a high position. Is that right? Am I right? Because when you're laying down on the floor, you're not going to fall, are you? If you're in a high position. And then the Bible tells us that as Christians, yeah, we're in a high place. The Bible says that we are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. That's where we are as Christians. That's where we dwell. Even in that position, I've got to tell somebody, it is possible for you to fall. You can be so close to Christ, you can be seated with him, and you still fall. Sometimes when you're not even thinking about it, you have fallen. I want to take, for instance, Peter here. Next to Jesus. A writer of some of the greatest passages in the Bible. A disciple of Jesus Christ. Actually, one of Jesus' closest. He's among the 12. And so we read in Mark chapter 14 that Jesus told his disciples, because Jesus is getting ready to be crucified, and he told the disciples that they will all fall away. And the Bible says that Peter was emphatic when he said, "Who, me? Never. I would never, ever fall. Look at me. I'm an apostle. I can never fall. Not me, Jesus." The Bible says, he said, "The others possibly, but never me." Have you met those people before? Never me. And I love Jesus because, you know, Jesus saw into the future and he said, Peter, before the cock crows even twice, you're going to deny me three times. Peter, emphatic as he was, never, never, not me, Jesus. Me, not me. But the others possibly, but you know me, Jesus, never. The Bible says that Peter insisted emphatically. And this is what he goes on to say. He says, even if I have to die for you. You know, he's trying to reaffirm how he feels. He says, even if you're going to have to kill me. Have you ever met those people? I would die for you before I could ever leave you, before I could fall. I would die for you. Thank you, wife. God bless you. And the Bible says that all the others, they said the same thing. Oh, no, yeah, not me. Yeah, yeah, I'm with Peter. I would never disown you. They can kill me. I love you, Jesus. I never fall to that temptation. No, not me, Jesus. You know, I'm on my knees, you know, Jesus, 24/7. I'm at all those meetings, God. You know. So, you know, when temptation comes, Jesus, not me. You can look somewhere else. Look in other parts of the church at those people. You know, they're weak, Jesus, you know, but not me. I'm just strong. I was having a conversation with this person, and they stated that they did not trust their children. And I thought, wow, what a thing to say. I was taken aback by that. And then the person went on to say, that I don't even trust myself. He says, because I find that, you know, when I say that I'm going to do something good, I don't even do the good that I'm saying I'm going to do, but I end up doing even worse than what I said that I'm going to do. And even the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 7, 15 to 20, he says, this is the Apostle Paul. This is the guy who, you know, so close to Jesus, the Apostle Paul. He says, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. It is sin, he goes on to say, living in me that does it. But the Bible tells us in Romans 6:14 that sin, and I love this, shall not have dominion over you. Hallelujah. And so the story goes on later. It says that night as Jesus was persecuted and accused, Peter looked on and he noticed by one of the servants, when he saw one of the servants noticed him, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. She said, you also were with the Nazarene. You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus. But he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said. And he went out into the courtyard where the servant girl saw him there again. Standing he was, and she said again, this fella is one of them. Again he denied it. After a little while, those standing, the Bible says, near to him, near to Peter, said, surely you are one of them. Surely you are. You're one of the Galileans. I know just by your accent. I'm sure that I've seen you with Jesus at some point. And the Bible says that Peter denied it. He went as far as now. He was saying that he would die for Jesus even before. You know, he denied Jesus. And here, Peter, this apostle among the 12, the Bible says that he began cursing. None of us would do that, would we? It's funny how nobody said anything about it. Probably, the Bible doesn't actually say what he says, but probably he may have said, and then I swear on my mother's life. You know those people? I swear on my mother's life. I even swear on my father's life. The Bible doesn't say, I'm just bringing an interpretation here. I don't know this man. I've never seen him. I don't know what you guys are talking about. And the Bible says, immediately the cock crowed the second time. Jesus says, the cock will crow twice. And then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the cock crows twice, you will disown me three times. And he broke down and he wept. There are some great Christians that I know whom I thought. Have you ever sort of looked on some people? You just think that they're so holy. You know, you looked at some people and said, this person must be next to God. So holy, they would never fall. It seemed impossible. I've met some of those people. I've seen great men, great women fall because they took their eyes off Jesus. They were tempted and they yielded to that temptation and they fell. And the devil craftily placed temptation in their way and many of them took the bait. And that's why Paul is saying to us, the church, he's saying, be careful. In other words, he says, watch out, be alert, because when you least expect it, it comes. More than anything else, if the devil can get you to fall, and especially if you're up there with Christ Jesus, if you're a Christian, you're a king, you're a priest, you're a child of God, you are the chosen one, you are called according to his purpose, you're a church leader, if you will have some way to fall. If you're a non-Christian, well, God, the devil doesn't really bother with you. If you're sitting on the fence, he has no interest in tempting you. Because as far as he is concerned, you're already fallen. You're already in his camp. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says this. Strong words. He says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, yes, walks about like a roaring lion. This is what he does on a daily basis, seeking whom he may devour. And I've got to tell you something. The devil, as far as he's concerned, he's doing a good job. Because he's getting into church. And some people are being deceived. He's getting into homes because he knows that his time is short. And the devil is working really hard. And there are people who are yielding to. But Paul says, be vigilant, be careful. And I believe this is the word that is coming to the church today. Be careful, wake up, because the devil is going around like a roaring lion, yes he is, seeking for somebody whom he can devour. This is the word for the church. Time for us to wake up and defeat the enemy. I'm going to tell somebody, a defeated foe. He is defeated. And I say this to the church, and I say it again, that you carry power to bind the enemy and be victorious. This is how we should be living as believers. I used to listen to one of America's top preachers, a guy by the name of Zachary Teams. Anointed preacher, young man who was leading a mega church in the States. He had a beautiful wife and he had children. But later, I heard that Zachary was visiting prostitutes, could not get himself off drugs. Until they found him one day on the bathroom floor of his hotel room when he told them that he was going on a retreat. This man, called by God, anointed, gifted. I'm going to tell somebody here as well, be careful because the gift that God has given you, the enemy is after it. Gifted, preacher, leader. They found him dead on the bathroom floor of his hotel because he was tempted. Drugs around him. He was tempted and he yielded to that temptation. The Bible says the devil, he comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And this is why Paul is saying, church, wake up and be alert. You see, and it's not just big temptations. It's the common ones, like sexual immorality. ICO, gambling. And you probably say to me, you know, Pastor Brent, I wouldn't say that sexual immorality is a common temptation. Well, the Bible was saying it is. And I wouldn't have thought that grumbling was even a temptation at all. Because how many of you are grumbling even today? Isn't that true? We experience, the Bible says, common to man temptations. We do that on a daily basis. And Paul points out that none of us are uniquely tempted. What I mean by that is Pastor Brian doesn't receive greater temptations than you. We all receive common to man temptations. Ordinary temptations. But I've got great news for the church. God has provided for you a way out. God, I need to say this again. Because as I said at the very beginning, there were some people here that the Lord had shown me that you are contemplating yielding to that temptation. I've come to bring you a word that is going to save you today. God has provided that way out for you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't let the devil win. Don't let him have authority over you. The children of Israel in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that Paul is referring to here had been out of bondage, out of Egypt. They were baptized, the Bible says, into Moses. They had been fed, this is what the Bible says, fed with spiritual food and drink from Christ. They had just come through the Red Sea. They passed under the cloud. God was in the cloud. Hallelujah. God was in the cloud. God was also in the fire. The fire by day that guided them. The fire by night that guided them and gave them warmth. The cloud by day. They'd seen all these miraculous things. And yet, look at what happened to them. The Bible said that God was not pleased with most of them. I like what the Bible says with most of them. The Bible is saying that God was not pleased with all of them, but most of them God was not pleased with. There were a few there among them that God was pleased with. Of the 400,000 plus women and children that came out of bondage, only a few of them made it into the promise. Only a couple of them made it through to the promised land. And here is something that is so scary that not even Moses, made it through. God's general, this is the man that would go up into the mountain. Hear what I'm saying. It doesn't matter who you are. God doesn't favor you in that way. He speaks the word and he expects us to obey. And even Moses, God's general, who would go up into the mountain. How many of us can do that? Go up into the mountain and speak to God. The glory of God was upon him. And yet, not even Moses made it into the promise. I thank God for the mercy of God, because I know that I will make it into that promised land. I know I'm going to make it. I thank God for his mercy. How many of us can have that surety that we will make it into the promised land? You know what? Because God hates disobedience. He hates disobedience. And I want to tell you something here. That disobedience is a silent killer in the church. What does the Bible say about it? It says that disobedience is like witchcraft. You practice disobedience, and it's like you're practicing witchcraft. And so the Bible says that they're in the wilderness 40 years wandering around. I don't know where you are today, but the wilderness is where the battle takes place. It's often said that the battle is in the mind. But I want to tell you that before it can get to the mind, it's got to get to the wilderness first. The wilderness is a place of isolation. Nothing is there in the wilderness but the devil. When Jesus was tempted, where did it happen? It happened in the wilderness. No one is watching you. If you're in the wilderness, I'm going to tell you that you're in isolation. No one is watching you. It was just him and the devil. And that's where the battle was fought, and that's where the battle was won. You see, the strategy of the enemy, his strategy for the church, when I say the church, I'm talking about believers in Christ, is to get you into a place of isolation. I can talk like this because I've seen the strategy of the enemy on certain people. You're isolated, so you're not hearing the voice of other Christians. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You're in that place of isolation. You're thinking to yourself, I'm doing a good thing by being by myself. But I come to tell you that if you're even thinking about that, you're in the wilderness and you need to get out. You're not being fed. And that's why I get fed up with people coming to me and saying, you know, I don't do church anymore. I have church at my home with just me and Jesus. What a load of rubbish. I just have church by myself. What you are having. No, I can't say that. What is happening is you're in the wilderness. That's where you are. And that's where the enemy loves to get you. Because he can attack your mind. He can speak to you. Because you're by yourself. You're not getting any encouraging word from the church or from anybody else. And as soon as he gets you, you fall to that temptation. Isolation will kill you. And I hear the word of God saying, get yourself together, because this is the promise that I have left the church. Gather yourself. This is the teaching that I have given the apostles for the church today. When the church comes together and they stand together in unity, I'm going to tell you something. The enemy will run, because there is power in numbers. What you do in the wilderness, I'm coming to an end right now, but what you do in the wilderness will determine whether you stay enslaved or you move forward in freedom. I'm going to say that again, because I believe that God is speaking to some people right now. What you do in the wilderness determines whether you stay enslaved or you move forward into freedom. That was a picture that God gave us of the children of Israel in captivity for 40 years. What you do in the wilderness determines whether you stay enslaved or you move forward into freedom, into the promised land, into the blessings that God has for you. You move into obedience, out of disobedience, out of witchcraft, and you move into the freedom of God. I've come to tell somebody that God wants to take you out of the place that you are in right now and bring you into Canaan. Anybody wants to step into Canaan? Or are you happy being in the wilderness? I know, I tell somebody, it's not a nice place to be, but God has made a way out for you. What a gracious God. What a gracious God. This is how James says it happens. James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Can I have the musicians? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The moment I began to experience victory and overcoming power over the devil was the moment I decided. Some people are waiting to feel something from God, but all we need to do is be obedient to the word. I decided that I will not do that again. That was a decision that I made, and I began to experience the power of God in my life, the blessings of God, because God is saying, now, my son, as you're being obedient to me, the blessings that I promised you is going to flow. It's going to flow. I receive my healing. I receive joy in abundance. The floodgates of God's blessings were open to me. And I hear the Spirit of God saying to some people here today, what is blocking the blessings of God in your life is disobedience. But God says, if you can obey His word and stand and not fall, God says, from today, He will open the windows of blessings that He promised you. To your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Just take that. The hardest part, the fighting the temptations that you face, is that we don't feel like escaping in the moment. We don't feel like it. This is how the enemy works. He brings three types of temptations to the people of God. You don't feel like escaping in the moment, because the moment is nice. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you are looking down on the floor. Don't worry, look up. God is not here to judge you today, but He's here to bless you. He's here to forgive you. He's here to restore you. And He's here to put you in the position that He has called you to. A position of glory. Kings and priests. Children of the living God. God wants to restore you to that position. Don't live under the threshold of your blessings anymore. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to stop there. But I want to do right now what the Spirit of God is leading me to. Don't want anybody to be judged. Because I can't judge you. Because I'm in the same position as you. But there may be some people, a person, several of you, that is just battling.
Holy, because you're with me.